The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower & Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center, with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark Amtower. I'm here today with my recreated panel from the Government Marketing University GAIN conference, at least major portions of it. Christine Botto Morrison of VMware and Peter the Great Jacobs from Alliance Science and Technology. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
It's been too long since we sat down together, but I'm glad we're back. Peter, start off. Tell people who you are, what you do, what Alliance does, please.
Sure. I run marketing and communications for Alliance Science and Technology, which is an engineering and technology solutions firm that delivers rapid solutions from the lab all the way to the battle space. Our primary customer is the DoD, although we do work with civilian agencies as well as international customers. Prior to being at Alliance, where I've been for many years, almost
14 now.
Yep. But before that, I was a B2B guy. I was in a number of software and/or services companies. Prior to that, at a marketing agency. So I've really seen this from a lot of different directions, and it's shaped the way I look at marketing.
Cool. Christina.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Very good.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Tell people who you are, what you do,
and
the many hats you've worn since I've known you.
Yes. Well, you just had mentioned, I go all the way back from PictureTel.
Which is in a previous
back in the 90s. Yeah. But no, it's great to be here. I am leading now vertical marketing over at VMware. So I have responsibilities of a team that works on government, education, and healthcare now. So we're expanding into healthcare a little bit deeper within public sector, as well as within commercial and enterprise over at VMware. So it's an exciting time as we continue to grow within cloud, within mobility and security for our public sector customers.
Yeah, I just saw an article in GDIT's new pub, GovTechWorks, how virtualization is going to change people's perception and use of the cloud.
Yes.
So, didn't read it yet, but it's going out in my newsletter next
Excellent.
Week,
so. Excellent.
What, they talk about you? Of course, they must have.
Of course they do. It's a strong PR engine we're running.
Everybody talks about you.
Only in good ways.
Okay.
There you go. So let's start this way. Our panel back at the GAIN conference discussed a lot of things, but what I like are success stories. I also like failure stories, but for purposes today, we'll stay on success stories. Things you've done, things you've seen. So, do you have one?
Sure. So one of the things recently at VMware focusing on our public sector vision has been to drive some more awareness and basically change the perception of VMware within the public sector market space, that especially when talking to folks within the Hill, who are you and what is a VMware? Sometimes you get when talking to staffers. So we spent a lot of time recently trying to rebuild our PR strategy and our influencer outreach, and working also within our own house of spokespeople to make sure that they could deliver that public sector message and making sure that it was aligning back to our corporate message. So we spent a lot of time while retraining our own team, but getting out there and meeting with folks who are key media players, as well as folks within the analyst community, to help articulate that message. And as you just said, it is paying off since people are reading. GDIT is a good example of
relatively
some of this
new
content.
Book, but it's got a pretty substantial readership.
Yes.
So, yeah, Mark Moyt did a hell of a job there.
Good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Peter, you have a slightly different tack because you're a services firm. Unlike Christina, VMware like permeates the channel and integrator community. You guys are, you know, selling services direct to some very targeted communities.
That's very true. And it means that we need to be influencers as well as service delivery types. So what I try to spend a lot of time on is getting our subject matter experts out in public, and also, as you said, working with PR in order to get that message out. And the PR channel for me is the most critical one, because that's third-party credibility. You just can't get any other way. The biggest success that I've had in a general sense was when I pretty much reworked how we were going to do PR. Whenever I would put out a press release, for example, in the past it would be Alliance Science and Technology has won a contract, and that's pretty standard and typical. But what I did was I turned it around and made it about the customer. I said the U.S. Navy was running into this issue, and because of that, they were looking for a solution that would address these particular problems and put out a contract for that. And it has been awarded to us because we're able to resolve those issues. When I turned it around and made the story about the customer, my pickup increased, honestly, 60%. It was amazing to me. I didn't expect that kind of lift,
huge.
But it really, and it's sustained that way. Because of that, I got a lot more coverage in a lot more places where I wasn't getting it before. And I was getting a lot more calls and emails coming in saying, tell me more about this. Not only from the press who wanted to write stories in those areas, but also, and most importantly, from potential customers who wanted to find out more.
Okay, this is a question. Oh, go ahead.
No, I think, I mean, to Peter's point, I think, you know, what I've seen also is when you change the conversation and make it more about them, less about you, that's where they can, they, the customer, the influencers, your target market, sees the value and can relate to it in a different way. I mean, I think we both probably have really strong corporate PR machines, but where I wanted to make the change was, how can I get that PR machine to start focusing on this unique market? And how can we get the folks who write and who are upfront about tech media within public sector to start helping me better tell this story? And it wasn't so much the quantity as much as it was the quality of the journal, the publications that we were now starting to show up in.
Yeah.
Right. That's really the most important point. And we all obviously agree on this, but it's worth stating again that if you lead with yourself, you're going to get a lot of crickets coming back. But if you lead with the customer, with the person on the other side and what they're going through, and show that you understand it and can help them get through it.
Right.
Now you've got a conversation going.
Because yeah. I think, you going back to, you and I could spend a lot of money on an advertisement, and whether it's online, in print, however we decide to go about it to fill the need there. But the point you made about credibility, to have that written by somebody else with the reference in a publication, gives you that increased credibility that a media buy can't give you.
Right.
And it helps start the conversation. It helps open the door. It helps deepen relationships there. And one of the things that I've given out to my sales team because of this is something that I call conversation starters. So when you see some type of article comes out that is relevant to us, that talks about us, it's now, I write it up in a couple little bullets, share the link, and throw it over to my sales team saying, here's a couple little bullets, put it in an email and just share it with your customer, with a prospect. Nothing more of a, hey, did you see this? And it's a way for you as a sales rep to begin a conversation, continue a conversation, insert yourself with this customer by sharing something relative rather than always asking for the same thing over and over again, which is, you know, that PO and that sale.
Yeah, I love that because it's leveraging other people's content, which
yes.
is what we're going to get to a little later on. But you brought up something that's extremely important for both of you, and that is developing platforms for your subject matter experts to get out there and share. I spent a lot of time with a couple of companies helping them present their SMEs via LinkedIn.
Right.
Didn't understand anything about what these people did because it was just like, whoa. But that's beside the point. You know, getting your number one vetting spot is social at this point. unless you're in the publications every week or unless you're speaking at the trade event that all of the key people go to. But even then, they're going to go back and check you out on LinkedIn. You know, they'll Google you and your LinkedIn profile will probably show up first. So for you guys, what do you do to support your Govy SMEs?
Sure. So this one, I will be honest and say, it's one of my MBO stretch goals for 2017. I want to get my SMEs to embrace this more. I mean, I think the three of us will all agree and know how critical it is to have that strong presence on LinkedIn. And it's now getting my SMEs to adopt that and to see that. And I'm working with them to try to get them to embrace it because it is critical. And one of the things that I've planned to do in the next couple of weeks is to roll out some LinkedIn training to get these folks comfortable with updating their profile and what LinkedIn is, because there are still too many people out there who believed, well, LinkedIn's for anyone who's looking for a job.
Well, LinkedIn is actually pushing that with a new user interface, too, so they're not helping our cause.
Right.
But, you know, if 460 million people were looking for a job, you know, all of the corporations out there would be in deep kimchi.
Yes.
You know, just no other way around it. But, you know, they're not.
No.
And LinkedIn is the best place to not only position individuals, but companies as experts. You know, VMware has been the leading firm, I believe, in virtualization since day one. Is that?
That's correct.
Pretty much accurate.
Yes.
So, and you know how little I know about technology, so.
Well, but it is. I mean, it's about getting that brand awareness out there. And, you know, just from my own stats to brag about those for a little bit, but just through organic reach on my two Twitter channels that I manage at VMware Gov and at VMware EDU, we've grown over 40% through organic growth in the last year. And it's because of the content that we've been putting out there, making it relevant. Huge, huge, huge stats right there. And I think, again, it's getting that message in front of my SMEs and my sales reps to help them overcome maybe the fear or objections that they see with LinkedIn.
We're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'll be back with Peter and with Christina after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here today with Peter Jacobs of Alliance Science and Science and Engineering.
And Technology.
And Technology.
Yeah.
And engineering.
Right.
And a lot of other stuff.
Right. It's Alliance Science and Technology, and we're an engineering company.
There you
which
go.
Is interesting. But that's an 80-year legacy back from the Illinois Institute of Technology Research Institute. I love that institute twice in the title.
There you go. And Christina Morrison of VMware. So you were going to follow up with Christina on something.
Yes, Christina, you were talking about something that is so important, which is relevance. But even beyond that, talking about how you're trying to get your SMEs to get engaged and get involved in outreach. And of course, that's an issue for everybody in our industry, is how do we leverage all that fantastic talent that we have inside the company? And a lot of it is the same thing that we deal with customers, is nobody wants to go first. But if they see a success, then they're going to say, oh, maybe that's for me too. So by doing what you're doing, which is showing people this works, you're now able to encourage the other SMEs to perhaps dip their toe in the water. That's an issue for me, is we've got some incredibly smart people working for us, but they've never done this before. They never blogged. They've never responded to a post. Perhaps they have, but only in a limited fashion, and not in a sense of, I'm going to do this to help support what it is we do here and solve problems for our customers. Getting them to think that way takes the example.
It does. It's a mindset change.
Yeah. So, but you know, there's let's play the SME card for this segment at least. So there's a number of venues that you can use for the SMEs. There's speaking, if you can get the speaking engagements,
right.
Always cool. But they're useless unless you can create a transcript, get the video, you know, because it's a one shot. You know, it's great. You know, I do a lot of speaking. I love it. But, you know, like, you know, the cobbler's children, I rarely get video of my speaking engagements. How stupid can that be? I'll work on that this year.
There you go. If but I that is one of your MBO stretch goals.
So. But, you know, so you have speaking, you have writing, articles in pubs, interviews in pubs. From my perspective, the use of social media, particularly LinkedIn and Twitter, to a lesser degree, Facebook, and maybe even Google Plus, as LinkedIn continues to mess up their sandbox.
I mean, I think LinkedIn is still dominating, especially within our space right now. I did make the choice in 2015 to pull out of our public sector Facebook channels just because they weren't getting the engagement and reach that they should be.
They get hits, but nothing.
Nothing. And that's really a good place for the corporate brand to play, and we can follow off of them. But the traction we've made on Twitter, and then this being the year, you know, we're really going to focus on trying to grow our LinkedIn engagement, not only at a brand level within public sector and healthcare, but also for these SMEs and getting them to become more comfortable with LinkedIn, especially too, if it's content that I've given you, copy and paste it. Right? Don't be afraid. You're not going to get in trouble or do something silly that's going to put your job at risk if it's something that your marketing team has given you and said, say this and you'll look good. Say this and it'll open the door for a conversation with a customer. Because your customers are engaged and watching, whether it's on Twitter or on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and it's funny because you and I met through LinkedIn.
Yes.
You were one of the first people I found on LinkedIn that had a social media manager job title.
Yes.
And
yes.
I reached out and said, how cool is that?
How cool is that? Yes, it was back in 2009, and I had started back then I was with HP, I guess I can still say that, and started their social media programs for healthcare, government, and education.
And that program is going very well.
Very well, yes, especially for me.
So, Peter,
yes,
social engagement over at Lion.
It is not as strong as I want it to be. It is growing. We are trying to make it grow more, but we have to get over that hurdle. Actually, there's two hurdles. One is getting the SMEs excited and engaged, and the second part is getting over the idea that once it's out there, it's kind of in the wild and you lose control. And to me, that's a great thing. To become part of this bigger conversation means you're not really selling, you're participating. And that's what I'm trying to push to my SMEs and to anybody who's nervous about it. This is an opportunity to show that we're really part of this greater ecosystem. That makes us somebody that's at least familiar and hopefully trustworthy.
Yeah, and Christina during the break brought up a point that some of the studies that are out there that will go unnamed indicate that LinkedIn is not used by feds. I do a census every year over the last 3 years on how many feds are on, actually 4 years, how many feds are on LinkedIn. Last year, the 2016 census had 1.6 million feds on LinkedIn. Every agency, including the Intel community, represented every single agency of the federal government. 15%+ of the job titles were IT. Another 20% were management or program managers. And about a month ago now, a week before Christmas, I spoke at NCMA talking to contracting officers about how to use LinkedIn to vet SMEs, but do it in an anonymous mode.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, I think
the population's there.
Exactly. And what Peter said was spot on. I mean, it's about participation. And it's about continuing that conversation and being relative within that space. That's what social media is bringing you.
Right. And if you think about it, this goes back to your total marketing strategy, which is who do you want to reach? Who are you trying to communicate with? And if you're just going after that one final person who signs the contract, you're not going to get there as a straight line. because that person has a lot of influencers, and in a lot of cases, especially on the government side of things, there's committees of people who have to vet things. And it may be that the committee makes the decision to award the contract. Well, who's going to be on that committee? You've got, obviously, contracts people. You've got the person who's ultimately responsible for it.
Internal PM. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you've got all of these technical types who are the real experts in what's going to work for that internal system. Well, they're the ones who need the information from you. And they don't want to hear the sales pitch. They want to know you know what you're doing.
Right.
And they also want to know that you get what they're doing.
And sometimes those aren't govies, too. They may be internal advisors from other contractors.
That's very true.
Yeah. So
the mix, and, you know, and for you guys, you know, I don't understand the resistance factor because VMware is dominant in that role.
Yes.
But there's a lot of people nipping at your heels.
Oh, there always are going to be people nipping at your heels. And, you know, they're at the heels. We got to keep looking forward. I'm not going backwards.
There you go. So you like that?
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Well, you have to. I mean, you know, if somebody's nipping at your heels and they're starting to erode mind share in an agency, what you do is look back to see what they're doing and maybe make adjustments accordingly. But that's the only reason to look back.
It really is.
Because I've seen sniping programs before, and they're funny. Sometimes they're funny because they're so stupid. Mm. But, you know, generally they don't erode market share.
They don't. And I think, you know, that's where the distractions come from. That's where you see a lot of the FUD coming from. But, you know, especially even too with social, it's just, you know, people being afraid of, you know, well, where's the conversation going to go? Let it go someplace. Let's get engaged and be able to address maybe it is something negative head on in a public environment and take care of it there rather than behind your back.
That's a very good point. It's owning who you are and owning the conversation. And you do that by actually participating in it, not staying really quiet and hoping that nobody talks about you.
Right.
And that's actually the biggest concern is when you're not talking about you, somebody is.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, what you want out there are your advocates, you know, somebody speaking against you, somebody in the room to say, I've used this company in multiple situations and they've never let me down.
That's exactly what you're looking for.
So, you know, from my perspective, you know, that customer pyramid at the top two levels, you have the advocates and then you have the apostles. And history seems to indicate that if you have enough apostles, you can do extraordinary things.
Yes, you can.
So what have you seen lately that seems to be working well, that's not really faddish? Anything in particular? I mean, I keep hearing people say, you know, Snapchat is great for products. Well, maybe, but not in our environment. So I think it's...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. I mean, when I was with HP, there were a lot of, you know, up-and-coming social platforms that worked well on the consumer side, whether it was Instagram or Vine videos, and probably even now you could see them over in Snapchat. I don't see the translation to the enterprise side with some of those tools. And the same thing why you don't see Facebook really trending over on the enterprise tool. It's not the right market that those tools, those channels are targeting. Oh, Peter, any thoughts?
No, I have to agree with you on that. The things that we see are working and I think will continue to work starts with the website, because that's the first thing people will check about you. They're going to make sure that, first off, that you exist.
Right.
But also, how do you...
Have a physical address.
Right.
Yes.
Right. How do you present yourself? How do you see yourself? How do you want people to know you? And looking at websites of people in our space, I can see this whole spectrum of ways that people see themselves. And what we want to be able to do is make sure that they see themselves when they come to our website.
Right.
That's something that isn't going to go away. That's not faddish. That's again, going back to your marketing strategies. Who are you trying to reach? And what do you believe they need to know in order to succeed at their job? If I can provide information that gets them going along that path and start having a conversation with me, then I've done my job, which is get them interested enough to reach out to me or respond when we reach out to them. It's the website that's going to start that conversation.
And that is huge. And I think the web and your digital presence as a whole sometimes is really overlooked, right? If you think about even just creating some type of campaign, an online digital webinar, it drives to some type of landing page. But at the end of the day, you want them back on your homepage. And if your homepage isn't in order explaining who you are and what that message is to that public sector or healthcare customer, you've just wasted some of that money developing those leads and trying to send them there. You need to be getting people back to your house, to your homepage, knocking on your door, understanding who you are, or else your campaign dollars are really being poorly managed.
Yeah, if there's no there, what's the
right,
point?
Right.
So you're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We shall return very shortly. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a great time. I'm here with Peter Jacobs and Christina Morrison. Peter and I, this is just an aside, Peter and I have only known each other for about 6 months. We met at an event that was talking about brands in the market, and the brands were all like these major internationally known things, but it was about the federal market, and we're looking at each other going, this really doesn't apply here, you know? And, you know, because there's companies, you know, you go out to NSA and Praxis is a name brand. Outside of NSA, nobody knows who the hell Praxis is, right? But there you go. But I want to stay on the websites for a few minutes. So, and just so people know, we've known each other for a while.
Yes, we have.
And have spoken together on multiple
times.
The website. So you implied that static websites are not good for business. You have to provide information for your buying audience. How do you do that, or how are you going to do that?
Well, as Christina said multiple times, relevance is key, and you can't stay relevant if your market's changing and your message isn't. So we're constantly going back to look at the content we have on our site and saying to ourselves, is this something that actually matters to our customers or our prospects at this point in time? Maybe it mattered a few years ago, but the environment's changed. Everything has changed. There are, of course, some things, especially programs that go on for decades. Maybe the change isn't as radical, but there's still evolutionary changes, if not revolutionary ones. So what I'm trying to do is talk to the SMEs, talk to the business developers who are out there actually dealing with clients on a day-to-day basis, and finding out, well, where's the pain points and what can we do to address that? And I'll do that through content from our program managers or our SMEs or the people who are working day-to-day with those customers, and we'll develop web content for that. I'll also work with SMEs on developing articles, blog topics, LinkedIn postings, Twitter postings, things that we can just talk about and refer to show that we are paying attention. To me, the idea of linking from outside in and linking from inside out means that, as I said earlier, we're part of that larger ecosystem, and I want to continue to do that, and I want our website to reflect that. Our website doesn't need to be an encyclopedia or a library. It doesn't have to have every last bit of information about all of the things we do. It has to be the conversation starter, and it has to be a way for you to find that there's more depth.
No, it's spot on. I mean, I think one of the challenges that I have right now with improving our digital presence is, one, we need better content on our public sector and healthcare pages, but we also need a stronger call to action to drive people there. People aren't going to come on their own and just think, oh, maybe I should go see what's on the VMware webpage. I need to be creating, whether it's through search, through Twitter, through social, through other online campaigns, content syndication, I need to be creating something relevant to push people, to drive people to engage and to experience the VMware offering. And then be able to track them to know, okay, so they came here to my public sector landing page, where did they go next? And to be able to have strong stats that tell me they left my page and they went straight to the cloud page, or they're going straight to my security pages. And to be able then to take that data to build out stronger programs and, of course, correct to improve upon the campaigns that are in market.
I think one thing that we all deal with and see as a challenge for us as marketers is how do we turn the conversation from here's the stuff that we do or the stuff that we sell to here's how we can address that issue that you're having. And I've seen this on the VMware site. I've seen this on other sites, that when you talk about the results, you're actually turning the conversation away from yourself and towards that person on the other side. If you instead would list, well, we do this and we do this and we do this, 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 and this. Now it's basically what's on the menu, and that person on the other side has to decide, well, does this apply to me and will this solve my problem? I want to make it really obvious that we understand there's a problem and we can help solve it. And I believe that you're doing that on your site, on your public site.
It is. It is. I mean, one of the things that we're moving towards is less about the product and more about the solution. And trying to, again, and it's a hard one. I think everybody suffers with this of how do I always stop talking about myself and talk about you more and your problems and listen and come back in with here's my solution to try to make your life customer easier.
Right. I'm actually looking at the VMware site right now because we're discussing this. And when you land on the federal page, it tells me that you're actually looking at what is the customer running into, what are those day-to-day challenges, what's the big picture challenge, and what are you going to do about it?
I want to point out that Peter's looking at it on his cell phone, and this drives a very important point. Most people are using a mobile device to get information now. Mm. Very rare, well, not rarely. I mean, every day everybody's in front of a desktop sometime. But most of the time, 60-plus, 70-plus percent of the time now, you're looking at a mobile device. So if your website isn't optimized for mobile, you're toast.
And you are.
In fact, we're in the process right now of totally revamping our corporate website. It is mobile optimized, but now I'm going to make it mobile first because we know that this is what's going on.
Smart.
I don't look at websites on my phone. I'm an anomaly.
Really?
I most time I don't remember to bring my phone.
That's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. I'm not addicted.
That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't start texting until my daughter said, this is how I communicate, Dad, and she's away at school, so I had to start texting.
Start texting.
So, what happened to pen and paper? A lot
that
of things.
Interesting.
So, I still write every day, and occasionally, I travel with a notebook. I make notes as I go. It's how I learn, because when I write it down, it stays with me. And when I get an idea, and I've gotten four or five ideas for articles just in the first two segments.
Here.
So keep them coming, boys and girls.
You got it.
What have you done that really works well? From your website, what is your major traffic driver or magnet?
So
what creates gravitational pull?
Again, I think it's the content, but what I've been asking back to my corporate solution folks is for more content that focuses, again, on the customers. What does digital mean and the digital environment mean to government? And we've had our team create some content around that. Now the challenge comes is, well, that's great. And I put it on my webpage, so that's great. Has anyone seen it? Has anyone come to my webpage looking for it? And the answer most of the time is no, because they don't know they should be. So where we're going now with that is content syndication, driving traffic through relevant messaging to the customer, right? Not just saying, hey, digital and mobility is out there for the enterprise. None of my government or healthcare customers are going to come and see that. They want to hear a message that says VMware understands their struggles, their pain points, their mission. So I could have the greatest website in the world, but if I'm not out there driving through, whether it's paid or organic, I'm not going to get any eyes on it. So I think that really has to come back to it is, if you have the content, how are you activating that in market?
Yeah. I find that when I generate content that's not in WashTech or some other public, you know, if it's on my own blog, I drive traffic via social.
Yeah.
And the traffic that I get on my blog is decent. You know, I get 2,000, 3,000 views per post, which for a solopreneur ain't half bad.
No, it's not. And you know, to be honest with you, that's the only place I see your traffic. So I only see what you're putting out through your social channels. I'm not seeing it through these other places just because I'm not paying enough attention to those other places, but I am socially seeing you and seeing that traffic.
Yeah. Do you read my WashTech stuff?
I don't. I don't pay enough attention. I do when you post it socially. Okay. Yeah. Yes. When you've now put it out there on LinkedIn and said, I've done this, or the AmTower report, I see it that way. I don't see it with WashTech pushing it.
Thank you for saying
it.
The AmTower report.
Yes.
Well, this is an important point that you're making. It's that everybody is just inundated with sources of information.
Yeah.
And how many places can you look in a day and still actually do your job? It's gotten to the point where it's a bit overwhelming. And so if you're going to break through, you better be offering real relevant value. And that's a tough thing to do when a lot of people are offering real relevant value.
Yeah. Well, when if I'm known for anything, it's candor. So in the AmTower report, I always lead with a 5 or 6 paragraph article on something out there in the marketing world or nuances in contracting. I'm less likely to write about that because it's not my area of expertise. But I lead with, you know, what's working in social? Are events still with us? You know, something that's relevant to my community, which is the marketing people of our market. So we're going to take our last break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. I'm here with two extraordinarily bright people. So when you're done listening to the show, remember that you can replay it at federalnewsradio.com. Just look up AmTower, and we're there again. So lots of stuff here. Take notes on paper and pencil. Back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. If you could hear the outtakes, you'd be happy camper. There's just so much information flowing here. That's cool. I'm here with Peter Jacobs of Align website.
Yes, www.alliancescience.com.
There you go, A-L-I-O-N. And yes. VMware, just look up VMware.
There you go, VMware.com.
Is there a federal? Or do you go to VMware and just click federal?
VMware.com/federal.
There you go. What we were talking about during the breaks is just tons of content, what works for who. So if you're trying to influence upper management, what are your favorite tools to attempt to provide them? What kind of information?
What kind of information? So I think when I have folks knock on my door and they come to me with that question of, you know, well, I need to grow within the C-suite, I go back to them with, let's slow down. Let's talk about what the sales goals are. You know, is it one of them to grow within the executive space? And how do we go about building that relationship and that? Obviously, goals here are defined by sales, but the strategy needs to be defined by marketing, and that marketing isn't a menu at your favorite restaurant. You don't pick from column A and column B to get there. It's taking what the strategy is, the path that sales sees to get to the next level, and then building upon that. Peter.
Well, absolutely. The thing that influences purchasing decisions, or at least recommendation decisions, frequently is the recommendation from a peer. So we want information to flow to that potential customer, not only directly from us, but from sources that they find are reliable. So going back to our SMEs, I'm really fortunate that we recently brought on a chief technology officer who's very well recognized in our community as not only being somebody who was in government and now works for us, but as somebody who is engaged in a lot of activities outside of the company.
So they're more of a thought leader a recognized participant in the community rather than somebody who had a seat in an office for 3 years as an appointee.
Exactly. Yeah. This is somebody who's worked for a living, who has made the kind of decisions that they need to make now, but also has a bigger picture view of the world. And when I get him to write, or even better, when he's writing something on his own for an outside organization that's still relevant to us, I can reuse that content because he works for us. So I can tweet about it. I can post it on LinkedIn. I can link to it from our website. And all of those cross links show that we're engaging with our customers in ways other than we want to sell you something.
And I think that's key what you're saying there, because a tactic needs to be more than just one dimensional. You don't want to just show up at said event and say, well, it was an event and that's what we did. There has to be a lot of things that come before day of event to, one, not only be driving attendance, but to get that message out there, to get people interested. The event actually takes place. Now, what's your post-event recap? How do you leverage upon that? You better have been there taking video. You better have been getting customer references. Now you can leverage that, and that one event basically could live on for the whole year for you, and at least, again, help you prep for next year's event. Use that content, use that success to help drive people to come back for next year. And those who didn't make it, you missed out, you should have been here. You want to be there next year.
Right. And if it's a popular event, I've seen reporters take notes and blog. You know, one of the sessions that I did, I forget where now. It may have been the game thing, but I think it was after. You know, it was recapped in two publications, and the only reason I knew that is because I have a Google alert on my name.
Smart.
So anything that pops up with Mark, there I is. And there's not too many Mark Amtowers out there outside of a distant cousin in West Virginia with some sort of punk rock band.
And we're always mixing you two up.
Yes, I know. A lot of people do that. When you want that C-level engagement, is, you know, webinar may not be the platform.
No.
Is a case study better? Is a white paper better?
Yeah, I would say it's trying to figure out how to drive that face-to-face interaction. And whether it's your own user group event, maybe it's a round table, maybe it's bringing them, you know, we have our executive business center here at VMware in Reston. Maybe it's planning some sort of, you know, account meeting around there with your executive team, with your leadership team, to get that peer-to-peer, because you need that executive relationship long before you ever want to put a PO in front of their IT staff or the contract manager. Get that relationship going from the beginning so that when you really need to leverage it, the relationship's already there in place. And it's not something that you want to be thinking about as you're trying to crunch and get your quota and get that PO signed.
Yeah, I speak at APMP, the proposal management professionals, usually once or twice a year. And a common complaint there during the proposal phase is the client doesn't know us. Well,
yes.
That's not the client's problem. It's your problem.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I think it's a two-way street there, though. I mean, I think the customer needs to know who you are, but you also, as the vendor, need to be making a valid effort to get to know all the key stakeholders within that deal. And working those relationships. You know, one of the things that disappoints me the most is that after I've provided my sales team with the environment to thrive and to grow relationships with their customers, and then I ask them, you know, how was it? It was fantastic. A month later, hey, have you talked to any of those people? No, I've really been busy and I haven't had a chance to follow up. And that's really where you need to be focusing some time. Take some time out of your day as a sales rep to focus on growing relationships in those key accounts.
Well, there's a new book out now by Tom Barrett on relationships, and it's all about relationships in this market. Government Marketing Best Practices, my first book, first line, this market is all about relationships. That was so important to me, I used it in selling to the government. It is. I mean, there's nothing stronger than having people know who you are and what you do.
Right. Somebody said to me a few years ago something, and it's not new and original, but it's something that really stuck with me. It's hope is not a strategy.
Oh, gosh, right.
If we go to this event and we exhibit, you know, we hope people will come by and ask us about stuff. Really? That's your plan? If the government decides to do this, we're ready.
Yeah.
And what if they don't? So instead of doing that, why don't you think about what we've been talking about here, which is do a step-by-step plan of how am I going to reach and connect with that person with something relevant to them, not something about me, but something about them that we can help deal with. Yes, the peer-to-peer relationship is critical. We never lead with the CEO, but with some of our customers, yes, the CEO will go visit because it's that important to make sure that there's a peer sense.
And if you're a smaller company, having your executive team meet with a client when the client requests it is absolutely key. And I've seen resistance at some companies. Well, what do they want to see me for? I'm not the technical guy.
Right.
Not the point.
Not the point at all.
Companies have personalities, and that personality is embodied in your CEO and your other C-level executives. So this really does come down to familiarity and trust. If you don't get to see the people that are actually selling you something, and yes, that does come down to the executives, then the trust just can't develop.
It is. It is. You got to find the time to grow and to make those relationships important.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in. This has been a blast, and I think we'll do it again in a couple of months if you're up for it.
That'd be great. Thanks for having us,
Mark. Thanks, Mark.
Fun.
This is not my day job. If you need an outside view with 4 decades of experience looking at this stuff, give me a shout. And if you need help on the social front, I am a LinkedIn master, plain and simple. Shoot me a line, markamtower@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening to Amtower Off Center.
You've been listening to Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.